Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and myself, Tass.
Thank you, Tass. This is the first candidate, Phil Reid, the Australian Labor Party candidate for the Lord Mayor of Melbourne, will be online with us in a sec. We're doing two today. We're doing Phil Reid and then Sally Capp. And then next week, same time, the Greens and Aaron Wood. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Macca, great to be here. I've got to tell you, I'm extremely disappointed I can't be in the studio with you and Tess.
Well, us too. We originally planned that we were actually going to live stream this and do it in a large room here.
But I think you owe us some donuts too, don't you?
Yeah, you owe us some donuts.
Yeah, I do. I know the drill, the strawberry iced donut and definitely no jam or filling on the inside. I'd got that from tuning in previously.
Hang on, that's Macca's like. I actually do like the jam ones.
Tess, I thought you and I knew each other well enough that I didn't have to offer you donuts. It was Macca who I don't know who I thought.
You know, a way to a man's heart is always via his stomach.
Through his donut, yes. Now, first off, I want to give you the ground rules, Phil. Shortly, what I'll do is I'll give you a minute, and in that minute you can do an intro, introduce yourself. Then we have a set of questions. You'll have a minute and a half to answer each question, and I encourage you to use that time. Don't behave like a freelance journalist getting paid by the word, but work on the basis that that minute and a half, you can answer the question and give people a little bit of background as to why you've taken that position. And finally, we've got eight questions. Then finally, we'll give you 2 minutes to do a final pitch to the Joy listeners. So if you're fine with that, I'm going to start the clock in a sec. We are speaking with Phil Reid. Phil is the Australian Labor Party candidate for Lord Mayor of Melbourne. Your minute starts now.
Thanks, Macca. Thanks, Tess. My name's Phil Reid. I am a resident of East Melbourne, father of two beautiful daughters in their late 20s, and I'm running for Lord Mayor because I'm a believer in government services. I believe that government at all levels can and should be the engine room of change, but it's got to be active as a government, not simply reactive. So it's got to create the circumstances in which it operates rather than react to them. To that extent, I look at Melbourne at the moment and I look at the challenges we've got and I see their opportunities for us to work together and change the city for the better. Throughout this campaign, I've been lucky enough or fortunate enough, at my bedside reading has been a book by Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt had a saying that was recovery without reform is a wasted opportunity.
There you go. Thank you for that, Phil. Now,
it's highly structured, Macca.
Well, you know.
Phil, question for me.
Oh, you're going to get the first one, Tess?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What do you believe in? And what are your values that underlie your thinking and your policies? Now, you've started to talk a bit about that. Do you want to expand on that for us?
And you've got a minute and a half, remember.
Yep. Look, I always take the view that there are two types of services in this world. There are services that we choose to get, services and products where we open our wallet ourselves and get our hard-earned cash out and pay for services and product. And then there are services for which the government reaches into our wallet through either taxes or rate revenue and provides those services back to us. And I inherently believe that those public services should be better, but they can only be better if people believe in those services and seek to make them the best possible and leverage the advantages you should have by providing services across the community in terms of size and scale, and make sure that you're providing the very best services to people. I have got some background that I probably can't go into too much this morning, but I've worked extensively with the WorkSafe Authority in Victoria and the Transport Accident Commission, and I think they're great examples of where the public sector has been able to take over where there's been private sector failure and deliver great products that protect the community and deliver outstanding service to the community.
You're pretty good on the timing. I love that. That was a minute 20. Wow.
I've lost my timekeeper too. She's gone into another room.
No, that's all right. That's all right. So next question, Phil. On the back of creating a COVID normal world, which of course we all want, tell us what you'll do to bring life back to Melbourne, to help revive its economy, its culture, and the things that we all love about Melbourne. You've got a minute and a half.
Well, look, again, I think the first thing we've really got to come to terms with is the city will never be the same again. And we all talk about returning to normalcy. I don't think it will ever be quite the same again. But what we need to do is find ways to get those stepping stones back to what will be a new normal for us. And I'm really conscious that in this campaign, we've got to do more than just say what we want to do, but we've got to spell out steps about how we'll get there. So I'll give you an example of that. If we look at people are talking about restaurant trade, getting restaurants to trade back out on the street. And I'd say that's a great idea, but there are some really practical things council can and should commit to make that happen, like taking out public liability insurance for all those insurers across the city, one policy, so that each individual business doesn't have to go through that. It should take on and commit to doing the traffic management, not making sure that businesses don't have to foot the bill for that traffic management. And once you're doing it for the businesses, you can also then do it for those community groups and organisations so that they can come out and also fill the spaces and give us that sense of colour and movement and vibrancy in the city. So that's certainly what we do in the short term. I think that over the first year, we have to look at that specific business attraction. How do we replace those businesses that will inevitably move on? I work in an office tower myself. I know that the workforce will never quite come back in the way it did. We've got to find new businesses and new opportunities to fill some of that built environment.
Cool. You went a few seconds over there, but
oh, Macca.
Well, no, I don't want you know, the rat bags at the Herald Sun or whatever accusing us of giving extra time to candidates, Tess.
Phil, next question from me. Tell us about your vision for the future of Melbourne. What would Melbourne have looked like after 4 years of you as mayor?
Look, I'd like to see the city clearly stating its presence as a capital city. And I think it requires a capital city government, not just another local council to do that. You know, government's got a great ability to, it almost can act as the like a distributor in a car and soak in that energy that the community's got and then distribute it back out, not just across the city, but as a capital city, we have to distribute it back out across the state. So we have to become a beacon for how our communities can function right across the state. Right. To that end, what I really want to see happen in Melbourne is get back some of those peak bodies, peak organisations that have left and vacated the city over the last few years because rents have forced them out of the city. And we've got, you know, pockets now, the Ethnic Communities Council, even the Pride Centre. You know, I'd love to see organisations like that that could once again be right at the heart of our city so that our city actually represented everything that was good about the state. As I said, there'll certainly be new industries, new opportunities happening, being created in Melbourne. But I think what I really want to see is the city elevated and taking on its mantle as the state's capital city.
You've done really well again on your timing. I congratulate
you. I thought that was a really good answer, Macca.
It is a good answer. I'm listening. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. We're speaking with Phil Reid. Phil is the Australian Labor Party candidate for Lord Mayor of Melbourne. The Lord Mayor of Melbourne is directly elected. Now, I've got a few more questions for Phil and for those listeners who've just tuned in. Phil will get a minute and a half to answer, and on his current history, he's getting in by a few seconds on each one. So if you're electing a Lord Mayor on his timekeeping ability, this is the one. Phil.
Don't call it early, Macca.
No,
there's still 10 minutes to go.
I know, there's still a few minutes to go. So my next question, Phil, is, and you probably saw a report of this, and this has actually piqued Tass's and my interest significantly. Many cities around the world have established a nighttime mayor. And this is really to communicate what's going on in the city after dark and the challenges that are faced, the opportunities. Is this something that you agree with? And if so, will you commit to it?
Well, I love the idea of a nighttime mayor, and I'd like to think I fit the bill, both in personality. There's plenty of friends and colleagues who describe me as a nightmare. But in fact, I started my working life as a sound engineer and spent the first 5 or 6 years of my working life working in and around Melbourne's music and entertainment industry. So I suppose I know firsthand just how important that after dark economy is to a whole range of people. And it is, you know, central to the vibrancy of our city life that that you can continue to enjoy the city after dark. So I love the idea of a nightmare. I'd like to think I don't need to bring in someone especially to do that, but I've got some skills, background and experience that could help me fulfil that role pretty well myself.
Thank you. And I've got to say there, for listeners who are listening, we mean a mayor that operates at night, not a nightmare. Because, you know.
You've had a bit of feedback, have you, mate?
I have. And actually, before we go to the next question, Bill from Melbourne has joined up as a full member and added a $25 donation.
Good on you, Bill. Good
next
on
thing
Bill.
You need to do, Bill, is if you're a business owner or whatever in the city of Melbourne, too late now, make sure you get on the electoral roll so you get to vote in the next council elections, Tass.
Phil, so as our audience is predominantly an LGBTIQ plus audience, have you signed the Pride Pledge? And what is your message to our community? And what can our community expect from a Melbourne City Council under your leadership in terms of inclusive policies, programs and services?
Well, Tash, yes, I have signed the pledge. In fact, I'd like to say I think all of the candidates on the Labor ticket have signed the pledge. If they haven't, I know they've all committed to doing so before Election Day. Look, I'd probably come back to issues around discrimination of any sort, and I see that and inclusivity to my background. I grew up in Springvale. We had the migrant hostel in the middle of town, and, you know, when you went to school, there were scarcely two kids from the same ethnic background. So you learn very quickly to take people as they are, not to expect them, you know, to just understand people are inherently different beings, but everyone should have an equal right and an equal opportunity to share in the benefits of their citizenship. I went on to be mayor of Springvale too, and as a kid in the 20s, and got to understand, you know, how some of those, how bringing people into the fold, creating symbols and opportunities for people to gather together and celebrate their differences really helped bind and strengthen the community overall. So, yeah, look, I've signed the pledge and absolutely fundamentally agree to open the door, bring people in and let everyone celebrate together.
Hmm. That was a minute 31. He's pretty good on that, isn't he, Tass?
He is, Macca.
Yeah.
The clock on the fridge only does minutes, not seconds. So I'm doing very well.
Okay. Now, the next question is, and some people will think this is a pretty obvious one, but tell us about your base. You know, who are your supporters, do you believe, and who you may be affiliated with politically?
Well, it's, you know, no secret. I'm a member of the Australian Labor Party. I hate having to do the maths on it now and remind myself that I've been a member of the Labor Party for about 34 years. I actually joined the party the day after my 16th birthday, which was the first time you're allowed to do it. And I've mentioned before...
So you're 51?
Yes, no. If I got my maths wrong there, I'm actually 53. So I've got my maths wrong.
You have got your maths wrong.
I'm terribly sorry on that.
I hope you can count budgets, Phil.
That must come with age. But the pretty cool thing to me is I've learned over the years I don't just support Labor like a football team. It's not just, you know, that's been my team. I actually acknowledge what they believe in. And it comes back to what I said earlier about a belief in public services, that government can be a driver. If I compare myself to people on the right of politics, I often say that, you know, the problem with conservatives all over the world is they aspire to government, but they don't believe in it. And so when they get there, they don't know what to do with the levers of government. I think Labor, by contrast, know how to believe in government, and they know how to drive it when they get the levers of power.
There you go.
Phil, here's your last question.
So hang on, I just want to make a couple of comments.
Okay.
I really appreciate, you know, that Phil has used the time to answer the question. I think it's really important that, you know, he gives a bit of background as to why he's given that answer, and I encourage other candidates coming up
to do the same.
It informs the people out there who are voters to give them a chance to understand why this candidate is seeking their support. So our final one,
it's your last pitch, and you've got 2 minutes.
It's your last pitch, and I ask you, you've got 2 minutes. And again, if you know, use all of that if you wish, but here you go.
So it's your last pitch, and tell us why electors of Melbourne should vote for you, Phil.
Thanks, Macca. Thanks, Tess. I can assure you I've been keeping the time based on good luck rather than good design. Look, I've done a lot of work over the last 2 years with Neil Danaher and his Fight MND challenge. And Neil's got a great saying, says, when all is said and done, more is said than done. And that's been a real North Star for me in terms of this campaign and developing policies to make sure that we don't just talk about what we want to do, but we spell out real practical steps about how to improve the city. Now, I can't get into that in 2 minutes here and all that detail, but there is a 23-page document on our webpage, Labor for Melbourne. You can find a link off my Facebook page, and we spell out those real and practical steps to get moving. What I'd be saying to people is, do take your vote seriously. Think about what you want to see from the city and look at the candidates and ask yourselves, are they telling us just what they think can happen, or are they telling us what they think can happen and spelling out how they can make it happen? We've developed a set of policies and got a team with us. So it's not a team based around Phil Reid. It's a team based around 5 members of the Labor Party who have worked together cohesively and collectively, who have taken soundings from the community in order to make sure that when we are elected on October 24th, we can hit the ground running on day one, do the repair that's necessary in a post-COVID environment, but keep our eyes also firmly fixed on the long term and making sure that we regain our crown as the world's most livable city.
Thank you, Phil. Again, 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
I'm as fascinated by you at it.
I appreciate that. We want to wish you good luck in the election. We also want to thank you for making yourself available to Joy listeners, give up some of your Saturday. And I know you've got a busy life, and whilst campaigning is a bit restricted, doing things like this is really important to give people the opportunity to hear what you say. Again, we wish you good luck. And whoever the Lord Mayor is after the 23rd of October, that Lord Mayor does get an opportunity to come on Saturday Magazine.
I look forward to coming in there with donuts. It's not just about giving up this Saturday, Macca. I'm happy to give up the next 4 years if I can serve the people of Melbourne better.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. That was Phil Reid, the Australian Labor Party candidate for Lord Mayor of Melbourne.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.